There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to the Death Lineup, the post-NBA trade deadline edition. And Brian, I have to talk about Jimmy Butler. Tell me when, as all of the texts, I'm sure you got a bunch of texts, were happening. Shams finally put it out, and we trust in Shams when he tweets, even though I will say that night that Luka got traded, I thought it was fake. That signified something to us, and I was not on the Jimmy Butler train before the trade happened. I'm still kind of 50-50 on it, but what was your immediate reaction when you saw the tweet?
A little bit of mixed feelings. Like, I did say that I thought this was gonna, I did say I was in favor of this the last time I recorded. I actually went and listened to it back because I wanted to hear the exact take, and I was pretty spot on, man. I think I had said that I thought it'd be more of a matching money thing versus like an asset thing. Like, I didn't think we'd have to give up Kuminga. I was right about that. But we did give up a first round pick. But again, it's protected pretty well in the sense of like, it's likely to convey this year. So we don't get locked up in multiple years. If it doesn't convey, then it's like, oh, 2026 first. No, it's likely to convey this year. And if it doesn't, it's like a total safety net for us. Because if things go terribly wrong, it's only top 10 protected. But you know, I think we were also saying last week, like, Andrew Wiggins is not a salary match player that you just add him like you do Kyle Anderson to match salary. Like, he was a substantial player on this roster who provided a big impact. So departing with him, considering the history, and then sounds like even internally, like, just was not an easy thing to do. But hey, it's kind of what Twitter fans and myself and you, like, we just get Steph help. Like, the ideal help isn't going to come if you don't go get it. Like, Jimmy is not like the ideal help that you would, you know, go in a lab to create the best Steph Curry teammate. You probably wouldn't come out with Jimmy Butler, but the ideal Steph Curry teammate is probably not available. Like, you know, Kevin Durant is the ideal Steph Curry teammate. He don't want to come back. Giannis Antetokounmpo is probably the ideal Steph Curry teammate. He's not going to be available. So it's just, you had to do something now versus not do something at all. Not doing something at all might have had Warriors fans, like Mavericks fans, in front of the arena.
What, like, is going protesting on with that? That is crazy,
man. I don't know how I would, like, I'm trying to think of, like, it's almost like if the Warriors traded Steph when he was, like, after, like, 2015, when they won the championship. I mean, I guess there's not an exact replica here because they won the championship in 2014, 2015. Luka lost it last year, but maybe after 2016, if they lose it and he gets traded for, you know, a nickel to the dollar.
I mean, the trajectory is usually, though, and this happened to the Celtics because the Celtics lost in the NBA finals to the Warriors. Then 2 years later, they're champions.
Exactly.
The trajectory of the Mavericks was, okay, they got their feet wet. They got their experience points in the playoffs, and then you kind of move on from there. You got Clay as the vet, which tells me they did not think that they were trading Luka before the season started. Something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to that trade specifically near the end of this show. But yeah, like, it's, you know, it is, some of this has to be fan influence, because, you know, I watch these games and I know these games are probably sold out. I don't know if everyone's coming to these games. A lot of tickets on the secondary market. Still very expensive to get in, by the way. But the crowd is not into these games at all. Mm-hmm. They are sort of deflated watching the team. And so there's expectation. It's almost like championship or bust. And thus, you know, the Warriors are the product. And I've said this. I think the games are really boring for the most part this year. And
even last night, it was like a close game, but I was just like, this is like, it's like frustrating and boring.
Yeah. And so, you know, you need to put a product out there that that really makes people want to give up their time. You know, we talked about this last week, and I'll plug last week's episode with Bay Area a journalist, Michelle Smith. She, you know, I said, hey, how do the Valkyries fit in where you have the Niners, Warriors, and Giants kind of 1-2-3, so much so that you pushed out the Raiders and the A's? And I mean, people are upset, but those were also the two bottom teams out of those five. And so can the Valkyries fit? She said, yeah, she thinks that the Valkyries can fit. The Valkyries will do things to make the Bay Area pay attention. And now this is what the Warriors did for you know, in bringing in Jimmy Butler. Now, I just clicked on the Ringer's trade deadline winners and losers. So Michael Pina. And he has Jimmy Butler and the Warriors at the top of his list as winners of the trade deadline. And I think most people on the outside looking in, they see what we have and some of the things that we get frustrated with. You mentioned it, not having a number two for Steph, which is what you've been saying for the last 2 years. And from the outside, the national media or the national fans are like, you just need to get Steph something, and we just want to see him cook. And that's kind of the whole thing to this trade. Now, for me, who has watched every game that this team has played, with a rare exception of one or two, over the last several years, I'm not sure if that is the sort of fix it for Steph, because my as I've been watching this season, offensively, they suck. They're a really bad offensive team. Defensively is what's been keeping them in these games, because they're still in the upper half of the NBA defensively. So you just trade out your best defensive wing, and who's someone who's shooting almost 40% from three, by the way. And you bring in a guy who can't shoot from deep, but is tough, is going to get hard, is going to get buckets, and will probably take offense to Steph getting triple teamed and him not getting double teamed, and probably be really excited about that. But at the same time, he's not going to go out and guard the best player on the other team. So I'm not sure if it's as easy of a plug and play. Oh, you just fixed your offense and everything's good. I'm not sure that that's the case.
It's just something different. And I think they were signaling towards trying something different when they made the Schroeder trade, where they were like, see, clearly doesn't fit, but like, we need to try something. And it didn't work. But I think there's a different dimension. Like, Jimmy and Schroeder are completely different players. Jimmy's a way better player than Dennis.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think, you know, just, you know, they said it on the Plus Minus podcast, just like, the Warriors don't have any mid-range players. And obviously Kuminga's been out too, and he's the only one that kind of provides that. And if this is not 2021 Wiggs where he's providing that. So Jimmy provides that, and it's another dimension to the offense where teams have to respect all three levels. But we'll see with the third level being the 3-point shot, and we'll see with the first level being the driving. Like, I know it's been a pretty rough year in the paint. And then you get rid of Wiggs, who could shoot, and then you bring back in Jimmy, who's not really like a 3-point scorer. Like, there's still work that needs to be done at the end of the day. And hopefully at the buyout market, you have two extra roster spots, one or two extra roster spots, because, man, did you give up a lot of players in that trade. But hopefully you can bring in some guys who address those needs. And to be honest, like, guys who address those needs, defense and shooting, are normally not available on the buyout market. But, you know, you never know. You might get lucky. Like we said, Brandon, Marcus Smart in the chat, like, is there any chance? I know, Bruce Brown was brought up. So we'll just keep our eye on that deadline, which I think is March 1st. We'll know everyone who is available, in the buyout, 'cause I think that's the deadline for cutting guys for that reason. But yeah, no, there's still work to be done. I'm surprised that they weren't able to get the Vucevic thing done, in the sense of like, it seemed like it needed to be GP2 and Looney, and my take on it, just with absolutely zero intel and zero actual sources, just a gut feeling, is that Kerr didn't want to get rid of those guys, because those are the two expiring contracts. If you're Chicago and you're trading Vucevic and you're not going to get any draft capital, maybe a second round pick, what you would want back is expiring money and not like multiple years, like a Buddy Hield contract. Like, you want expiring money. And if Steve wasn't willing to part ways with those guys, of course Steve doesn't care if they're expiring or not. He cares, because like, they're like Warriors guys. They're like his mm-hmm. guys. And then if I'm Chicago, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really interested. But then again, I think the Warriors were maybe betting on Chicago to be like a reasonable and like understanding like franchise and like a serious organization. And quite frankly, Chicago isn't that. They have what, 8 point guards? And like, the GM just went on record saying that there's two ways to win a championship. You can have all-stars and role players, or you could have 8 to 9 very good players. We're going with the latter. Like, what? So quite, they're just not a serious organization. So I don't necessarily blame the Warriors for not trading with them, but still, you would have thought that they would have gotten something else. I don't think that Jimmy Butler's enough, but I think it's something different, and I think it's something that's new and fun. And, you know, we'll really see, like, I think we'll get to see pretty quickly here. Like, to me, this feels like Steph Curry's worst year, just based on like, I feel like he's a little injured. I feel like the effort
he looks slow.
Yeah.
And he looks like he hurts when he runs.
Yeah. So I'm really interested, like, after All-Star break, he gets some rest, and then they come back just like out the gates. Like, I just really want the fan moment of like, we told you so, where it just looks completely different now that Steph isn't like, they aren't just throwing bodies at him without a care in the world of who his teammates are. Like, no, they actually have Jimmy Butler. And again, I said it last pod, if I told you we got this guy 365 days ago, I'm trying to think, I think you would be like, no shot. Like, there's no way we got this guy. It's just like the value of like the idea of what did you do for me yesterday just dictates a player's value sometimes.
He tanked his value something crazy just by how he handled the Miami thing. And I don't only put this on him, by the way. He's dealing with a 80-year-old dude who is a multiple champion who has a giant ego. Well, in Pat Riley. And, you know, it's a young person's league. I'm sure he felt somewhat disrespected, and he's going to show his power. Like, hey, you know, this might be the Heat, but it's still a player's league. So I don't put all that stuff on him. My worry is, why so almost like he needed to get this thing done because he didn't have faith that it would happen in the future. Like this whole Phoenix.
I think I have an answer for that.
Well, this whole Phoenix trade, right? He wanted to desperately go to Phoenix, not because he thought, well, I don't know what he thought about Phoenix and their chances to win, but it was because they were going to add a few more years on his deal, which would have made the monetary sense for him. Now, the reason why he didn't want to come to the Warriors is because they weren't going to pad his deal and pay him, you know, upwards into his late 30s. And they didn't. They re-upped him for 2 years after this. So they gave him a little bit of something, which kind of locks them up for the next 2 years. But did he want to lock up the long-term deal because he sees his athleticism maybe, you know, getting away from him a little bit, or maybe because, you know, he's often injured and he does, you know, but, you know, we see Kawhi just continue to sign these crazy deals. So there's something there, but why did it have to happen so much? Like right in the middle of this season for him to be okay. Like it seemed like there was something going on with him about why he handled it this way.
Yeah. You could be right in the sense of like, he feels like, you know, this is not going to last forever, which of course it isn't. He's an aging player. I think he's 35, but at the same time, I think there was this respect factor where he took these terrible teams in 2020 and 2022 to the finals. And meanwhile, he kept asking for like another star. Like they were in the talks for Damian Lillard forever. They stalled those talks the whole time. They had no chance of getting anyone else. Like they didn't get Donovan Mitchell that went to the Knicks. Like so many strikeouts where he was like, just get me another guy, get me another guy. And they never did. And then at the very least, he's like, okay, well, I took this 2020 and 2022 team to the finals. We were probably projected like 5% chance to get there. And yet I willed us there both times. You better give me the damn deal that Paul George just got. At the very least, I should be getting that. And they didn't want to do it. And if I understand why they wouldn't want to do it, but I understand also from his perspective, like at the very least, like you guys owe me this. And then that not happening and him being like, well, screw this. I am going to be petty. And, you know, I think that's why. And then he ended up kind of folding for the Warriors, because if this went to the offseason, I think there was incentive for Miami to get this done too, because if this went to the offseason, he had like a $52 million player option. He could have just picked up and ruined their lives. And then they traded him, and instead of picking up that option, he just extends for, I think they said it on the Bill Simmons pod, like it was a 2-year extension, but technically it's just a 1-year extension because he was on the books for next year. He was going to pick up that $52 million option. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know. Does that kind of answer your question a little bit?
Like, no, I mean, I definitely see that point of view for sure. And look, I'm trying to be optimistic about this. Some of it is, you know, I just don't know how much of an upgrade he is over Andrew Wiggins. From an offensive mentality standpoint, he does present an upgrade for what maybe for the kind of that eye of the tiger that the offense needs. But what if he is not the same Jimmy Butler of 2 years ago who willed that Miami team into the NBA Finals?
You're in trouble. It's a risk. Then you're in trouble. It's a risk. That without a doubt,
it almost seems that they're okay. Now here's an interesting question to see who is more optimistic, you or me. If you were to put a percentage on it of success versus failure, what percentage would you put on for the success side? Like if you 40. Were to guess, I think that's even high at this point. And look, he could do it for a year. He could do it for a short amount of time, or maybe he does it for the, you know, for the next 2 years after this one. And we both, you know, we're too risk averse about it. And, you know, Mike Dunleavy's a genius, but it does feel like more impending doom than the possibility of hanging another title. That's for sure.
But what's the inverse? If he doesn't, you know, if this trade doesn't happen, it's like, okay, we got Wiggins, Draymond, Steph, Schroeder. Let's roll it out. You know, very likely that you miss the play-in altogether. You go back to the drawing board. You have a decent pick. It's like, do you pack it? Like, then we're just back in the conversation of, like, you are just legitimately just watching Steph's later years just pass away for nothing.
Okay, but is this more table dressing than anything else? Because
this has a higher ceiling, but
exact same thing.
I think this has a higher ceiling just given the additional talent of higher success, but it also maybe has a similar floor. But then again, like I think TK was saying it on the pod today on the Warriors plus minus that, and again, this is our like very low risk chance to get like a player like Giannis, but he was like, this contract could be tradable next year. Like when Giannis is available, you know, you put that $60 million number, whatever it's going to be, and you know, you throw the house at Giannis. You do Jimmy, you know, Kuminga, pods, 4 firsts, 2 swaps, like you just throw the house. So there's still that as well, I guess, but of course you can't ever count on that. But hey, I'm that's my thing though, is like the inverse looks terrible in my opinion.
Okay, so there's one thing I like about this, and I'll tell you why. I think this means, like, okay, if you're Jimmy and you're Steph and you're Draymond, because Draymond even mentioned this, they are leaning towards these three guys to push forward, right? To Draymond, this is like, okay, like, this is signals to me that, you know, I'm good. Like, they don't see me as, like, someone who they're going to send out and rebuild. I think this also means they're going to re-sign Kuminga. Because yes. How can you not? Because you can't.
You have to.
You can't put all your chips in with these three guys, and then when Kuminga's contract renewal comes up, then you go, you know what? We're gonna let him sign elsewhere and lose everything, or we're gonna take 50 cents on the dollar. Now, if Kuminga balls out for the end of this year, and all of a sudden he is you know, somebody that you can maneuver maybe to get a better fit, then maybe that happens. But I see this as JK is kind of the guy that we're gonna lean into because we need him to fit with these three dudes, and we cannot, you know, we finally have to make a decision on him, and we're gonna have to go through all warts and all flaws and all. We're gonna have to lean in and make him a player, and you know, maybe the seesawing and the hemming and hawing with his minutes, maybe that just has to end, and you put him on the floor with these guys and they just have to make it work. Because some of what the issue was with JK, not only JK, it's also because Draymond can't shoot. It's also because, you know, Brandon Podziemski, no, people are laying off of him. So it's a fit in a sense, but it's not only JK's problem. It is the pieces around him as well. And maybe Quentin Post becomes somebody that they play 20 minutes a game just because he can stretch the floor, and that fits it better. But I do think that this forces them to make the decision on JK and stop with the yo-yoing of his minutes.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, he's a restricted free agent, so even if he puts a pen to the paper on someone else's offer sheet, they have a certain amount of time to match it. Of course, that could get messy if that does end up happening, but
it could be frustrating for the player.
The last instance we have of it is the Ayton situation, and that just went terribly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I think you're on the money. I think they have to.
Okay, so here's another thing, and you mentioned GP and Loon, and my guess on the GP thing, GP's got like 1 year after this one, right? I think.
I actually don't know his contract situation. I thought they were both expiring.
I remember when he signed with Portland. I seem to remember it was a 3-year deal. Maybe it was a 2-year deal.
Yeah, he did sign a 3-year with Portland.
So was that 2 years ago or was that 1 year ago?
That was 2 years ago. So he's already on the last year of his deal, which was a player option that he picked up.
Okay, so my thought with GP is you lose Wiggins and you kind of have to have Peyton and Butler almost in a sense as a safety net. You know, like Peyton has to be on the roster because when you get late in the game and you need to stop, he's the only guy they have who you would actually be comfortable in that spot, right? Unless the great Gui Santos gets some of those minutes. But GP is the only real guy that you can turn to and say, okay, you know, maybe Draymond, but Draymond's not going to go chase a point guard, or, you know, you're not going to put Draymond on Shea. And Shea's going to probably score over most people. He went for 50 yesterday. But, you know, I think you have to have GP if you lose Wiggins. Now, if you kept Wiggins, then you're probably fine putting GP into any sort of, you know, deal for that because of his expiring.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details. There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Yeah, I think what we're hearing on reports and Twitter is that the Warriors just got really desperate And I remember reports coming out that they were checking in on every single All-Star. And it was almost like embarrassing of one of those, you know, main NBA pages that aren't affiliated with the NBA, like the NBA Central or something. Like they would post like the Warriors are interested in Giannis. It's like, no shit. Everyone is like, that's no point in the Warriors are just like floating out that they're interested in everyone. And then the KD thing comes available. And then KD says, I don't want to go there. I don't have the, you know, great feelings about going back to that organization. And I just think that they thought they maybe had KD. Then Steph called him and then KD was like,
wild,
I don't know.
Is that?
And then I think they might have just gotten desperate because I think there was like, okay, well, they didn't get KD. Who's left? Jimmy Butler or Nikola Vucevic? And at that point,
how do you think this conversation happened? So Steph calls KD. KD actually picks up the phone, didn't send him to voicemail. Do you think when KD and Steph were talking, do you think from KD's lips the name Draymond was uttered, or do you think it was
there's a guy,
your guy, your boy,
him?
That's your dude. Yeah, right. Like, cause it, I don't know anything, but it seems like the beef is, if there is a beef, is probably with Draymond and how the end of that thing happened. He picked up Steph's call, so they had the conversation. So it seems like they might be fine. But what do you think is the reason why Durant said, I do not want to come back to the Warriors?
It's probably not 100% Draymond, but I'd guess at least 70% Draymond. I mean, yeah, Draymond called him soft on live television. He said that we did it without you, like leave on live television. Like if I'm Kevin Durant, like I don't think they have like the greatest relationship. Like I think I remember when Draymond punched Nurkic, KD in his press conference said, like, I think we need to get him some help. And Draymond went then live on his podcast and said, it really rubbed me the wrong way when Kevin Durant did that on live television instead of coming to me first and talking about it as he's on live podcast, like now outing KD. Like Draymond is like, yeah, he's made a lot of problems and maybe not gotten the proper. Like
So here's another thing. Here's what I wonder. If the Warriors didn't win in 22,
I think Draymond would be gone.
Okay, now this is not even about Draymond. Does KD think he could come back here? Because yeah, Steph did do it without him, right?
Yeah, twice. Yeah, I think maybe, right? Because isn't there like a big reason? Like, I think I remember you telling me, I was just a kid, like I was like 15 or something when this happened. But a big reason why KD came is because they had just lost in 2016 mm-hmm. to the Cavs. If they were to beat the Cavs, then KD's mindset would have been, well, me and Russ were one game away from knocking out the champs. So I think we can run it back next year. But the Warriors ended up losing to the Cavaliers. So KD, instead of being one step away, was actually still two steps away from being the best team. So, yeah, I think there's maybe a little bit of truth,
because what he would hear from the national NBA is, you left those guys because you wanted to do it by yourself. You didn't do it by yourself. They did it without you, and now you're coming back because you need to chase
titles. But this is different because this isn't his choice.
I mean, it kind of is. If he can say he doesn't want to go there, then they don't trade him there. It kind of is his choice.
But he could have been like, eh, and then they would have done it. He basically was like, I don't think so.
I think it's the national pressure that is also part. I think some of it is Draymond for sure. But I think there's also the national pressure, Charles Barkley calling him, you know, he doesn't drive the bus and all of that. So that all that stuff would come back. And, you know, he's probably at this point in his career where he just wants to hoop and, you know, if he wins another title, great, but he's not going to, you know, he got the two titles doing it the way that he did. And he's probably got some trauma from that, because he even said, right, like, I think this was may have been in Ethan's book, something about like he thought when he won the title, or maybe it's on Bill's podcast, when he won the title, he thought, you know, things were going to like change. And he was like, No, like nothing changed. It's like the next day just happened. And then I was just a champion, but like his life didn't change. Right. So that like he learned that from that moment. I don't care about he and Draymond or this. Now I would have died.
Oh, man.
Come back to the Warriors. Yeah. It would have been so amazing.
But I think I would agree more with the national media thing if he was like so obviously chasing a title when it feels like the Suns kind of have a less chance than the Warriors do. Like if he was like then trying to make his way to like Houston or Memphis, I would have been like, okay, he doesn't want to come back to the Warriors because he wants to do it on his own terms and like without them and without that cloud of like you had to go to the Warriors to do it. But he just like was like, I'm happy in Phoenix, and like it seems like he's okay with, you know, their chances, which are slim to none, and that it just sounds like not as not like him, I guess.
So just back to the Jimmy thing, is there any worry from you? Because this is the like the worst thing that could happen. Jimmy gets upset. The whole team is in disarray. And you have to literally blow it up because of chaos. Now, in a previous iteration of this team, I would have said, you know, locker room is pretty mature. They understand how to deal with the pressure. They understand how to deal with these big personalities. I think that they can handle this. And then Jordan Poole got punched in the face. And I think that changed everything about how mature this locker room is, how they understand what it takes. Like that was a breaking point for them and it costed them. And that was right after winning the title. So that is also a worry of mine, which is, you know, we are definitely in the last days of this dynasty. And it almost never ends nicely. It never ends in that romantic fan way. It almost always ends badly. And this would be the worst way, is you bring in Butler, who doesn't fit in, and Draymond himself, you know, maybe is frustrated. And Steve Kerr is a feisty guy, and he gets and Mike Dunleavy's the fall guy because he replaced Bob Myers, and no one's going to ever blame Steph. Like he's completely innocent of anything, but like, it's just like this stew of bad thoughts and bad actions. And it just blows up and we're just sad. That's the worst.
All very valid possibilities. I feel like I'm just reporting on these three podcasts I've listened to today, but Marcus Thompson went on the Athletics NBA Daily Show. And he was saying that he's not that worried about the Jimmy locker room fit because, and I don't agree with Draymond, but what I'm about to say is like Draymond more so has it out for guys he thinks are like soft.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, KD gets a soft label I've heard in, you know, my lifetime, and Jordan Poole would get that as well sometimes. So, but and then Marcus was saying, like, you know, when they brought in DeMarcus Cousins in 2019, like we thought that could be a bad locker room fit, and they ended up just being like best friends. So, and I even think back to last year when I was like, oh shoot, like him and CP3, like if anything has the chance to go wrong, it very much could be that. And then they ended up being best friends. And I don't think CP3 gets like a soft label. I think he gets a flopping label, but I don't think he gets a soft label. So I think that's the same with Jimmy. I could totally see that them having like a really good friendship. So I'm not really worried from the locker room perspective, but now we talk about like them being bad and then that could cause some issues. Like that's totally possible. But I think you need to start looking at what if things go really well?
I want to be in that mindset. I definitely do, because it's not fun watching this team this year and just thinking, oh man, these guys look old. They can't score. They used to be the dandy of the league, and now they're just mid. Like, so yeah, it does suck. I want to see, and I think it's going to happen Saturday. And by the way, we don't usually record before games because the conversation can be outdated by the time they play. I don't know what kind of lineup the Warriors are going to throw at the Lakers tonight. I would actually be really surprised if they win. But we had to do it because of the trade and because of the trade deadline. So unfortunately, we won't have the Lakers part of this conversation. But the next time we record, we will have some repetitions, more than likely, of Butler in a Warriors uniform. I think they play in Chicago on Saturday, which is technically, possibly, hopefully, going to be his Warriors debut. But yeah, so the, you know, that, by the way, did you see Draymond chicken wing Collier yesterday?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, so
I was watching at a bar.
Pods and Collier.
Oh, was it that play where Collier got like a tech or a flagrant?
So Pods must have, they must have been doing something, because Collier got really mad at him, and Pods goes right, and Collier basically treats him like a tackling dummy, and he just boom hits him with the shoulder and sends Pods flailing. And so I was like, oh man, that Pods must have said something.
Pods is also a little bit of an actor.
He's a little bit of an actor, and he's a little bit of an agitator. And that is his style of basketball. He kind of has to play that way because the athleticism isn't up to snuff with everybody else. And so Draymond goes out there, and you know, they call the referee immediately does the whole replay thing. And so Draymond kind of runs over to pick up Pods, and he's trying to be slick with it. But as he's running over to pick up Pods, he makes sure that in his line of running is Collier, who is not looking at him. Collier is looking, I think, at his own bench, actually. So Draymond runs over, runs by Collier, chicken wing right to the back, and then he goes in and picks up Pods. And I was like,
it's Draymond, a classic you're not, Draymond walking the line. Walking the line. Because you could, he does it so perfectly because you can make an argument for both sides. Like, he was running to Pods and Collier was in his way. Like, and then the other one's just like, he took that specific route to hit him. Like, classic Dre.
Yeah.
But hold on.
Okay.
Before we move on, because I imagine we're about to move on and we haven't even like said the type of player we're about to get here. Yep. We're getting a 6-time All-Star, a 5-time, this is just his basketball reference page. I'm not doing anything too much here, but just 6-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA. MIP in 2014, geez, 2020, 2021 Steel Champ, 5 times All Defense, 2022 Eastern Conference MVP. I believe that was the year after like Tatum and Steph won it for their conferences and then went to the finals. But what's interesting here is, so I'm just looking at like his just per game stuff per year. It's nothing crazy, like, you know, 22.9 in 2022 and 2023 season, where he took them to the finals, only 22.9 points per game, 20.8 the following year. But the thing is of course, one of his nicknames is Playoff Jimmy. So when I go down here to playoff series, and I wish they just gave me the whole playoffs as a whole, but I'm only seeing it on a per series basis. The guy averaged, that doesn't even sound right. Someone might have to fact check me on this. 37.6 points per game against the Milwaukee Bucks in 2023.
Is that when they upset Giannis and yes, sent him home packing?
Yes.
Oh,
37.6. And then the following series, the second round against the Knicks, 24.6. The following series against, I think it was Boston, where they, yeah, went up 3-0 and then ended up going to game 7. 24.7, and then the finals that year, last time he played a playoff series, 21.6 against the Nuggets. Just a, you know, kind of a rough series. Everything was, he had like, I don't even think he had Tyler Hero. So, and then last year they went up against the Boston Celtics. He didn't even play a game. He was hurt. But it's just like, these are numbers that are like far better than his regular season averages, like especially that glaring 37. But just goes to show, like, this guy's nicknamed Playoff Jimmy for a reason. And this is his latest playoff series, is just like collectively averaging probably like 27 per game. Of course, there's the outlier that makes it that high. But yeah, like, it's just, that's the type of player we're getting. That's the type of player I hope is still like very much there. Because then when you start looking at Steph's numbers too, it's like, these are guys who just absolutely go ballistic in the playoffs. And that's what, you know, you get like a decently favorable first round matchup, and man, these guys could really just show it all.
That is a good way to look at it. And I'm with you. And the other thing that I really like, and this is a small thing, but it makes a lot of sense on this team, is he gets to the stinking free throw line, and nobody else on this team gets the free throw line except for Kuminga. And so
yeah,
you have that to look forward to. Okay, we're gonna quickly talk about some Valkyrie stuff. We'll come back to the Luka stuff. My good friend Albert, he's already lined up some comments for me, because He knows that he's a Lakers fan. He knows I've been making fun of Luka a little bit, only because it's unfair that the Lakers got Luka after the Dodgers get everyone, and it's just they fall forward all the time. So I've been throwing out the Luka hate, even though I don't hate him, but now I kind of have to because he's on the Lakers. But we'll come back to the Luka stuff after we get to our Valk's Valley segment.
Valk's Valley.
All right. So I saw the social media videos of the performance, or what do they call it? The practice facility?
Performance Center, practice facility in Oakland. The old Warriors Center, which is what Michelle told us, that it's just the old Warriors facility.
Dressed up.
Yeah.
In Valkyrie's colors, very ominous purple and black. That it looked really cool, but it also looked like a little spooky at the same time.
Because a little Halloween. Colors.
Yeah, a little Halloween. But it was very cool. And I saw Joe Lacob cut the little ribbon or whatever. So
that guy looks a lot older. Like, I feel like I saw that video. I was like, dude, you've been aging.
We were wondering, and this has actually been a focal point on some of the podcasts when it comes to free agency in the WNBA, which is practice facilities matter and how these teams are putting their money into all of the things that the players need to get better. The Warriors, this should hopefully benefit them. And, you know, they also signed a free agent. Tiffany Hayes, who was the sixth woman of the year last year, veteran guard. I'm a little worried that, you know, she did try and call it quits and they talked her back into playing. And so, you know, when you always think about that, a little worrisome, but they did get her. And, you know, so hopefully this practice facility, once the word gets out about this thing, and we're not really worried about next year because everyone's on a 1-year deal, but in the future, in the next season and beyond, as teams, you know, whatever they lean into, whatever the players feel that they need, hopefully the Valkyries are a player because of how much money they are willing to invest in the betterment of the facilities and the organization for the players.
Yeah, it just feels like cheating that we got NBA money.
Everyone should, though, right? Joe Tsai and New York, the Liberty, like, he's got NBA money, too.
Yeah, and they're awesome. So that's probably why. But yeah, no, I mean, that's literally, I can't even count how many times I've heard that from the Phoenix Mercury side, that they have the best facilities. That's why we're going there. That's why Alyssa Thomas is there. That's why Satu Sabli is there. That's why Natasha Cloud was so happy and then she got traded, but she was always trying to recruit people because of the facilities. And so I do hope that becomes us. Just like Michelle said, Michelle said last week, though, I'm a little like, why it sucks that it's in Oakland. I wonder if they could set up, you know, like a ferry service from bay to bay and get players there quicker instead of having to go over that bridge all the time. I think we're going to be a player because of the facilities, because just like you said, that ownership's willing to invest in player betterment.
Oddly, my video is behind my audio. I don't know why. We'll see.
I was wondering if that was a me thing. It totally is. No. It's a you thing.
It's happened in some podcasts of late. I don't know what it is. I'll have to do some
researching. I can't like look at you because you're throwing me off. I have to like look away to like talk.
Okay, so we are probably going to do another interview. I don't want to jinx it at all. But that should be happening. And you know, what I'm wondering is, you know, all of these people who, and we talked to Michelle last week about this, kind of the experts and the educating about the WNBA. I wonder if they're like just constantly being hit up by people, and I wonder if they like it. Or if they're like, oh, man, like what we actually liked was, you know, not having to do a lot of this stuff. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I feel like there is somewhat of a buzz for the Valkyries. And I do feel like everyone is looking forward to this WNBA season. You mentioned to me off air that there is a new who wrote the new draft guide for the WNBA?
The mock draft?
Yeah, the new mock draft.
The Athletic's Sabrina Merchant.
Okay, so the Valkyries are locked in at their pick, unless they trade up. Did she still have Paige going number one?
She did. Let me see if I have it right here. It might have been on my phone. But yeah, I think it was Paige 1, Olivia Miles 2, Georgia Amor, which is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name correctly, but it's the first time I've seen her in the top three. She goes number three to the Chicago Sky. Usually it's been Sonia Citron from Notre Dame, but now they have Georgia because she had like some 40-something point game. She's on Kentucky? I'm forgetting what squad she's on. I should look this up. But she's been a player I haven't really watched that much because, to be honest, like, I'm a little, just philosophically as a basketball fan, like, I know we're not all there in the W yet, but in the NBA, I'm like, ooh, size with versatility, like, that's where everything should go. And in the W, like, small guards can run this league, and she is a pretty small guard. She's 5'6", and in the NBA, I always say, like, it's about, like, on average, a 6-inch difference. So 5'6" in the W is 6 foot in the NBA, and we don't see any 6 foot guards anymore. So, but she is on the Kentucky Wildcats. She just had a crazy game. I shouldn't even spend too much time talking about her, but the only reason I am is because she's been mocked to us before.
Okay.
So Georgia Amor she's also a graduate student. I think she's Paige's age instead of the regular senior age. So she went three in this mock draft by Sabrina, and then Dominique Malanga, the French prospect who's only 18 or 19. She went to the Washington Mystics. She's been mocked to us as well, and she's quite frankly the one who I'd probably bet on us getting right now. So Dominique Malanga at four, and then Kiki Iriafen at five to the Valkyries, who we talk about a lot on this show. USC forward. When I started following women's college basketball last year, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope we get the number two pick because I want Kiki Iriafen on this team. And now she's available at five. So I would be, and there's some reasons that she's dropped and, you know, some stuff has to still be shown, but that would be pretty much a dream scenario for this team, is that if they got Iriafen.
And her coming out party was the one tournament that I watched a lot of, which was last year. So I got to see her. And it's so funny because this happens in the NBA too. It's like you have these players early in the season and you're like, this is how it's going to go. And then someone outplays them. And we've said this because ultimately, like, her and Juju together don't seem to fit as well as we originally thought that they would, just because Juju is so ball dominant and everything ran through either Cam or Kiki last year. And then Cam fouling out of every game, so just running through Kiki. But I would, that would be a dream for their first draft. Like, she's on the jerseys, she's on the billboards, she's on your social media. You market the hell out of her. It would be amazing if she fell to the Valks.
Yeah, I would have the jersey within seconds of availability. Like, she's just who I've been trying to follow a lot, like one of my favorite players. So that would be awesome. But I do think this Dominique Malanga thing could be real, because I didn't realize this, and I've tried to do a lot of research today. We have a lot of French players that are yeah. on the French national team. So we have Carla Leite, who was drafted in the expansion draft. We have Ileana Rupert, who was drafted in the expansion draft. And just yesterday, we signed Tijan Salon's sister. I think her name is Janelle Salon. All three of those players are on the French national team, and so is Dominique Malanga at 18 or 19 years old is on the French national team. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the like Eurobasket qualifiers right now. I know Richard Cohen's super into that stuff. I'm trying to like kind of learn, but I will say the person we just signed, I think her name's Janelle. This could be totally wrong, but Janelle Salon, she's cooking in the game I'm watching. She's a starter over Carla and Ileana, and she looks very good. So I am actually quite excited to see how this goes. So I started doing some research, and you can only have 12 players on the team, but you can have 18 for training camp. Oh, so wow. They're going to have to dwindle down from 18 to 12 once the regular season starts or preseason starts or something or regular season. So that's why we've been seeing a lot of players just getting signed. Like, I think it's like two more players just got signed today or something. Like, oh yeah, Tiffany Hayes was the first one. And then I'm already forgetting her name. But yeah, we signed another player. Like, I think we've signed like so many players in the past couple days. So yeah, I mean, if you are interested in this stuff, like I believe on Sunday, the French national team plays again. It's free to watch on YouTube. Like, you could see three Valkyries, potentially four, playing. Like, not a bad gig. But yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the trade deadline in the NBA. Okay. I guess we should talk about this Luka thing a little bit more. It does still, I've heard all the arguments for and against this trade. Nico Harrison got like maneuvered. Like, he got grifted, man. Like, I don't, it almost like he grifted himself the way that I'm reading this thing. Could it have, like, is it in Luka's contract that, you know, he could kind of force it? I still cannot figure out how this happened. What has been the best argument for Nico Harrison, like, doing the right thing or not being conned out of his best player?
There's
and one
none.
Of the best players in the league.
Like, before I even try to give an argument, like, I just keep hearing that it's like, oh, they're friends, Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka. Like, Nico was Kobe's Nike representation, Rob was Kobe's agent, and like, they have a relationship. And I'm like, dude, like, if my friend does me like that, like how Rob just did Nico, like, we're not friends, actually. Like, you guys, it's just one of the most embarrassing trades I've ever seen in my life. You know, I keep seeing videos of like people like, let's count how many franchises have had a better player than Luka Doncic. And you don't get that far. Like, just have had a player as good as him in their entire franchise history. And you don't get very far.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see the return they got on him, like, I think I said on my podcast, like, I was sitting down at a friend's couch when the initial Shams notification came down, and I didn't even freak out. I clicked on it, and I was like, ah, guy got hacked. Like, I like, and the main giveaway for me was the draft compensation. I was like, yeah, the hacker could have done a better job. Like, three or four more firsts, probably, maybe I'll consider it, you know? But then it was just like, I like sent it in my group chat. I was like, haha, look, Shams got hacked. Like, zero part of me thought this was true. And then even when the next Shams tweet came through and he was like, this is true. And I was like, the hacker like somehow has a long hold on your account, dude. Like, you need to do forgot password. Like, you need to get him out of there. And then it took for me for the ESPN tweet for them to be like, this is real. And I was like, holy moly. There's good argument.
Who was it for me? There was a local, I want to say it may have been a local writer who got retweeted and said, you know, I don't think he got hacked. This is a real thing. And then soon thereafter, it was maybe like Dave McMiniman maybe had tweeted something. And then Mark Stein started tweeting as well. And then Mark, who's the other Mark?
Are you talking about Mark, we're not paying for your Substack, Stein?
Yes, Mark Stein. But there's the other Mark. Who's the other Mark? Spears, Mark Spears. He then said, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, Shams didn't get hacked, even though he still kind of wrote it like he got hacked. I think that was the biggest problem.
If I'm him, I'm shaking like writing that. Like, I can imagine like how like words don't come out right because you're about to break the biggest trade of all time.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably knew it in the moment.
So the argument that Dallas is trying to make, and they're not outright saying it, but they believe Luka's going to break down.
Yeah.
And so all of the jokes about, you know, Luka's the first player to get traded because, you know, people thought he's too fat or whatever, all of these things. Now, again, I'm a Lakers hater just by DNA and genetics. So I just can't like him now. Like, you know, I can respect him like we respect LeBron, but I can't out and out root for him. He's on the Lakers. I just can't do it anymore. Brad and I had a conversation about how our hope is that Luka starts hanging out with Shohei, and all of a sudden Shohei starts training camp like 15 pounds overweight. Like, that was our hope. So
that's probably gonna be like your guys' top video too. Like, I think you sent a screenshot of all like the top videos, and it's always like bitter Giants fan colon or semicolon. Like, it's just
I love the Dodgers fans. They come through on YouTube. They're so if you just slightly disrespect them, they're so mad.
They might be the most loyal supporters to your podcast.
All right, so from my buddy Albert, who's a Lakers fan, he went on a little bit of a comment storm that I saved for this part of the show. His first comment was, he's not fat. His second comment was, he's a perfectly healthy weight. His third comment was, Draymond needs to punch some Ozempic. And his fourth comment was, Jimmy is 275 pounds. So as you can imagine what our chats look like, our basketball chats, Lakers versus Warriors. So
Jimmy is 230.
This is going to be like, you know, in your future, as you age as an adult NBA fan, Luka's going to be playing the Warriors a lot, and it's going to be Lakers Warriors, Luka versus whomever, Steph for a couple years at least. This is not a good future for Bay Area fans with Luka Doncic, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts. The football thing is a little bit different for me because, you know, Brad and I with the Rams stuff, it's not really that cutthroat. But man, it's just going to be a Lakers Warriors. You know what this is good for is Tim's North and South podcast.
Oh yeah,
one of the Lakers. So he's just going to be in our life, on the Lakers, and I just have to dislike him and make fun of him constantly. But yeah, that's the one trade that. I don't know how we can make any sense of it. It's never going to make sense. It feels like it was almost like, a conspiracy kind of trade, but Nico's going to be the one who's going to take it on the chin if, like, the Dallas fans are, like, boycotting and, like, doing crazy stuff. All right, we don't have to talk about it anymore. But the last thing, what are some of the deals that happened in these last 2 days that you thought were good for the teams?
Spurs getting De'Aaron Fox is the first one I could think of.
That was awesome.
I think that happened so quickly and I wasn't expecting it, but I'm not plugged into like Kings basketball, but I just didn't think that. I thought he was a Kings for lifer. So that shows how much I wasn't plugged in. But yeah, I think it makes all the sense in the world. The Spurs were able to retain all their young players, Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, Stephon Castle, and the reports were that the Kings were going to do it without either one of Vassell or Castle, yet they still did it, and the draft compensation they got back was underwhelming as well, and then they end up stuck with the LaVine contract, like kind of an all-around miss for Sacramento, in my opinion, even though I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to like not go into rebuild mode, but they might have just created like a similar Bulls situation where they're just like habitually like the ninth or 10th seed for the next 3 to 4 years.
I will respect the fans, the Sacramento Kings fans, because the ones that I've seen, they're trying to be as optimistic as humanly possible in a way that is, I would not blame them for just like burning their Kings jerseys right now. Because, and here's why. 2 years ago, they are up and coming as the dandy of the league, and then the Warriors beat them in the playoffs. And then last year, they're in the play-in with the Warriors, so they're kind of taking a step back. But in just 2 years, they went from the 3 seed in the West, and you've kind of have them on a little bit of a hierarchy like the Thunder. Mm. And all of a sudden, in 2 years, they're back to being not interesting, not important. Like, I would be so mad if I was a Kings fan. Like, where did it go wrong? That's the piece I want to see. I want to see the, the beat writer piece for the Kings of like how, you know, remember that Bill Simmons piece that he wrote for Grantland, like the 70 steps that the Warriors took to get where they were before they got good again. Like, there's got to be something there for the Kings, because I just feel really bad for them. Like, there were, you know, we know some Kings fans, and they were puffing out their chests last year beating the Warriors and like thinking like, okay, you know, we kind of like we got them behind us a little bit now, and then they go and lose anyways. But yeah, I would be really bummed, and it's unfortunate for them. Not that I'm a Kings fan, but you know, the winner of that trade, there's two winners, I think. De'Aaron Fox and Wembanyama. Those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a nice combo. I don't think De'Aaron Fox is, you know, best point guard in the league or anything, but he's slick. And he's, you know, we talk about this, what the Warriors lack. De'Aaron Fox is going to get a bucket when he needs to get a bucket. Like, we've seen that. Like, we are scared of him, you know, crossing over, stepping back and hitting buckets late in games. Like, he's that kind of player. So you put him with the little bit of the ice cold veins with Wembanyama. That is a nice thing for Spurs fans to look forward to, you know, so that I'm happy for them. You know, the one that I liked that is probably a little bit more under the radar, but is the DeAndre Hunter to the Cavs, because that's the only thing the Cavs were missing in their starting five was a three. And that guy can play, though I know you said that the reason why the return wasn't that great is because he has a bigger contract for his role.
Yeah, that was my understanding of, and I was hearing that, like, I listened to the first half of that Simmons pod, and I'm not like watching Hawks basketball of all teams that much, but apparently he's had a pretty good year, but he doesn't like really fit the like ball movement style of everybody eats offense that the Cavs have right now. And so they're wondering how that fit's going to work. But yeah, I mean, position of need, I would have liked them to get Cam Johnson more, but I bet that price was steeper than the DeAndre Hunter price. But yeah, solid. I think also another annoying thing for Albert is that the Lakers got Mark Williams.
Yes.
For a first round pick and a pick swap, and then a Dalton Connect. So kind of maybe like three firsts in a way, two and a half. But that one is going to, that one could either, I think that one has a really high ceiling or a really low, or like a high ceiling, really low floor. Like, I don't really think this can just like kind of middle out here. I think he's either going to be really awesome or he's just going to be super injury riddled his entire career. So not hoping for injury riddled, but hoping for injury riddled. But yeah, those, what else happened? Charlotte doesn't really make sense to me for giving away that. They don't own their pick. I think San Antonio owns their pick, right? I think that's the pick that the Kings got. It's like protected, like top 10. If it's top 10, it's Charlotte's pick, but San Antonio gets it if it's like top 10. And then if it doesn't convey, the Kings get 2 second round picks instead of a first round pick. All time mess up, in my opinion, by the Kings. But was there,
what about Ingram?
Oh, Ingram to Toronto. Yeah, I'm interested on what the number is going to look like. And because it sounded always like that whoever he got traded to, kind of like Jimmy, is that he wanted a contract. So interested to see his number. I think from a fit perspective, it's like, why not? Would it take a first round pick and Bruce Brown? Was that it?
Kelly Olynyk.
Did not take much whatsoever. So I'm excited. I think Scotty needs, I think. All things I hear about Scotty is that he's just not going to be like this number one. And so might as well like attach him to like some more scoring. But it was probably the craziest trade deadline of all time, with De'Aaron moving, with Luka and AD moving, with Jimmy moving. And there was a chance that Kevin Durant was going to move. So yeah,
Kuzma to Milwaukee
does nothing, in my opinion. I do think that Middleton was either really on or really off, and maybe Kuzma presents more of like this consistency. I think you can maybe make the argument because he's not going to have as much pressure, but he didn't want that much pressure. Wasn't that the reason he said he didn't want to go to Sacramento? He's like, I kind of like this little Washington, like we're losing, like I don't need this, all this pressure. I just came from this Lakers thing that was pressure every day, and now I'm in Washington with no pressure. This is kind of nice.
He's a different dude. And what you would hope is that you pair him with someone like Giannis, who's a maniac, and you get the best of Kuzma for that time frame, right? I mean, it's kind of what happened with Wiggs when the Warriors got Wiggs. And during that championship run, Wiggs turned into another guy. And he's never been that guy ever again. But he turned into that guy for that playoffs.
I hope Kuzma brings his DC politics with him and just drives Giannis and Dame up a wall and ruins everything, and Giannis requests out next year. I want inside agent coups.
That would be great. Albert has one last comment for us. He's trying to get the hashtag going. Thick Luka.
Dude, Luka's press conference in the Lakers jersey, he does not look no 270. Like, I don't, like, 270 is pretty crazy, and he does not look like that high at all. Like, I looked at, just on Google, Jimmy Butler 230, Luka 230. I don't know if it's 230. He didn't look no 270 though. 270 is a crazy number that just casually got reported. So Nico Harrison, like, I really hope that, like, you do not have another job in this organization ever again. I hope you get fired, and I hope you, like Alex was saying it on our podcast, if any of us made this type of, like, he was like, I was trying to explain this to my non-NBA friends.
Like a fantasy trade or like a 2K trade, like, would it go through?
No, just not even that. He was like, I was trying to explain this to my non-NBA friends. And I was like, if any of us ever made this type of decision in our day-to-day jobs, we would not be in the field. Like, we would not be in this organization, not even just this organization. Like, we would be, you know, not in the industry anymore, is how bad of a decision this was. So I hope that that guy does not have, I hope the Chicago Bulls GM does not have a job. And I hope that Nico Harrison does not have a job very soon. I'm praying on people to go unemployed. That sounds crazy, but.
My buddy, yeah. The Joker also said Zach LaVine's debut was a bit of a flop. All right. Well, we got through it. And now we'll have to see what's going on with Jimmy, though. I will take credit for this. And I've said this, if Luka shows up in shape next year, like, just like a maniac, and he's jacked and he's thin, I want credit for the idea that we're going to see the meme that shows Sherman Klump as Dallas Luka and Buddy Love as Lakers Luka, the Nutty Professor, that meme. I'm taking credit for it right now. All right. So that's going to be it from here. I will be back this weekend after the Super Bowl with Rod. We're going to do a Super Bowl recap and talk about the latest with the 49ers. And you and I will be back in Jimmy Butler's focus. This is why, you know, the trade is great for stuff like podcasts. Like, of course it is, because people want to talk. It's great for the league in getting conversation around the league. Is it great for the Warriors? We have to wait and see. All right. Thanks to everyone for who we're checking out live. Thanks to all the audio listeners. And we've picked up a fair amount of audio listeners of late. So appreciate the new ears. Brian and I will be back hopefully next week. We'll see. But for Bry, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.